Hey, my friends, before we start this episode, I want to tell you about another podcast that I think you and your children will love. So, parents, do you want great stories for your kids? Do you want them to be fun and entertaining, all the while teaching them good morals that they will take with them to adulthood? If so, check out Whenever, Wherever Kids Podcast. Whenever, Wherever Kids Podcast is a kids' stories podcast that produces weekly episodes, each with a unique story and a unique moral. So, if you want to entertain your kids for free, all the while supporting their manners, empathy, generosity, and more, go check out Whenever, Wherever Kids Podcast, wherever you get your podcast. And now, for the episode. How do you help your child when they're stressed, when they're anxious, when they're afraid? This is what we're going to talk about today in this special episode of the Apparently Parent podcast. This is episode number 30, and today I'm doing something special. Recently, I've done a live session on my Facebook group. Do you know my Facebook group? It's called Navigating Parenting, Raising Secure and Confident Children. I will put a link in the show notes of this episode, and you can go to apparentlyparent.com/Facebook to get right to that group. Every now and then, I do some special live trainings and sessions over there, and I did one about the do's and don'ts of helping your child deal with anxiety. And today, you're going to listen to that live session. Okay, so yeah, it was a live video, but you can listen to the audio as well. So without further ado, let's cue the intro and find out what are the do's and don'ts of helping your child deal with anxiety. Welcome to the Apparently Parent podcast. My name is Iran Katz, and I'm a clinical psychologist, a parenting counselor, and also a father. In this show, we combine the art of parenting with the science of psychology. So if you want to understand your children and yourself better, lead your family into calmer waters, and reach the end of the day with a smile on your face, you've come to the right place. I'm your host, Iran Katz. Hello, good morning, everybody. It's lovely, sunny Thursday here in Tel Aviv. We're going to talk about today about the do's and don'ts of helping your children handle anxiety. And this is something every parent has to deal every now and then, because every child has some fears every now and then, some stressors every now and then. So this is what we're going to talk about. So first, a couple of things. If you're watching this, you're in my group, Navigating Parenting, which is totally awesome of you. And just for a little bit about a couple of words about myself. My name is Iran Katz. For those of you who don't really know me yet, I'm a psychologist. This is my office over here. Actually, I'm standing right in front of the place where I do the actual work of, you know, talking with people. And during my years of being a psychologist, I dealt a lot in parenting, both with parents that I worked with that came for me to work on their own parenting, and a lot with working with adults, also with children as they are being parented, but also with adults trying to, you know, resolve some issues that you can trace back to their own childhood, etc. And I've come to learn quite a lot about the various aspects of parenting, which I try to bring into these conversations. So what I want to start with, before we talk about really how to help children with anxiety and what you should or shouldn't do, I want to let you in a little bit into my own framework of thinking about parenting and how I want to help you become, you know, a better parent. And this group that we are in right now, it's called Navigating Parenting for a Reason. There's a reason why there's a ship on this slide. And if you've listened to my podcast, you already know that I use this metaphor a lot. But just to, you know, let's put ourselves on the same line. The way I look at parenting is that when you became a parent, you were handed down a ship. Okay, it's like the minute your first child was born, some dude with a deed, an ownership deed, gave that ownership deed of a sheep to you and told you, here's your sheep. You have to take care of that sheep. It's very important. You must not let it sink. You must guide it to safety and have a ball. sail away. Oh, and by the way, the ship holds the most precious cargo in the world, which is, of course, your children, your first child, your second child, etc. And as a parent or as parents, you are the captains of the ship. So if you're a single parent or you have a spouse with you or any other parenting model that you're in, you are the captain of the ship, and it's up to you to take care of the ship and, you know, bring it to wherever you want to bring it and bring it into safe waters. So as parents, you are the captains of your own family's ship, and it's up to you to lead your family's ship into calm waters. But the problem is that no one really taught you how to do that. No one told you how to run a ship. No one ever taught you how to handle your crew, you know, mutinies and crew dynamics, and how to navigate at night, how to navigate through storms. So you need some kind of guidance. And especially if you want to get from point A to point B as a parent with your ship, you must have a map, because everyone who ever sailed or ever tried to get from some point to another point knows you must have a map. A map shows you where the dangers are. I imagine these old tiny maps of the old world where here be dragons, like, or there are drawings of little sea monsters in the water. So a map tells you where to go, what to beware of, etc. So I want to share it with you, the parenting map. And again, this is why I call this group Navigating Parenting, because I want to help you navigate your own parenting journey. And the parenting map is a thing that can really, really help you doing that. So let's go over that really quickly. So the parenting map is actually an acronym. It's comprised of M, A, and P. Those are three words and the three pillars of this framework. And if you master each pillar on its own, if you keep it in your heart, in your mind, and you practice whatever it teaches you, it can help you lead your ship, lead your family into calmer waters, into where you want your family to go. So what does the map comprise of? So basically, it's comprised of mindfulness, attachment, and purpose. Okay, those are the three pillars of the parenting map, MAP, mindfulness, attachment, and purpose. Now, this is not where I'm going to go really into each one of those. Okay, if you want to learn more about that, you can go to apparentlyparent.com/1. And later I put just the link in the comments of this video. And this is the first episode of my podcast, the Apparently Parent Podcast, and I break down this map for you. And if you want to learn more about it, let me know, comment, and I'll be sure to tell you more about it, maybe in another video. We can do a live session about it if you want. And the whole thing about the parenting map is that you have these three pillars, and they work together. So purpose is really about what kind of parent you want to be. Who you want to be as a parent? What do you want your children to remember you by as they grow up, etc.? And attachment is my own baby as a psychologist. I'm a freak of the attachment theory. I use it. I study it, and I think it can really help you become a better parent and help you orient yourself into making better connections with your children. And mindfulness is a major buzzword for the last couple of years, and it's really about becoming more attuned to yourself, to your own thoughts and emotions, and also to those of your child, and learn how to navigate better, because this is what gives you the visibility. It's like, if you're not mindful to your own issues, your own emotions and thoughts and triggers, it's like you're sailing blind. At night, no stars, you have no gear for, no GPS, nothing, and you're trying to survive, and it's really hard to do so. What I want to do now is to use these three pillars, the purpose, the attachment, and the mindfulness, and to show you how they related to the topic at hand, which is the do's and don'ts of helping your child deal with anxiety. So when we're thinking about purpose, okay, again, this is what's important to you, okay, as a parent. So think about that for a moment. And each and every one of you, think about one of your children and think about a moment when your child was stressed about something. Now, it doesn't have to be major traumatic events. It can be as simple as going to the doctor's office and have some procedure to go through. Just on the top of my mind, for example, last year, my son fell down on a slide and he bruised his a little bit opened his chin, and we had to take him to the doctor, and they had to there were no stitches, but they just glued it together. And I really remember that those moments when they had to do that, they had to, you know, put him on this treatment table or bed and to hold him in a specific angle and do that. And he was stressed. Naturally, he was stressed. Okay. And so imagine something like that, for example, and think what's most important for you in those moments when your child is afraid, stressed, anxious about something that he has to do now that's going to happen, or maybe something that is just on his mind. And you see that I wrote that I want you to imagine your child at their 30s. Okay. I really think about imagining my child being like, I don't know, 30 years old and, you know, going to work and doing his thing. And suddenly he remembers those moments. You know how sometimes just a distant memory pops into your mind? Okay, so suddenly he remembers those moments in the hospital with me and my mom and the doctors around, not my mom, his mom, wow, Freud, me and his mom and the doctors around him, and he's really stressed. What do I want him to remember from that experience? How do I want him to remember me as his dad or his mom, as his parents? How did we help him? Were we there for him, not only physically, but mentally, emotionally as well? Do I want him to remember this experience as traumatic? Do I want him to talk about that experience in his own therapy as an adult? Or do I want it to be remembered as something that was not fun, but maybe not horrible, not traumatic, maybe even empowering in a way? Okay, so let's try to think about that. Okay, what kind? What's important for you in those moments, in those situations when your child is afraid? How do you want to be as a parent for him? The second pillar is the attachment pillar. So this is a huge topic that we can go talk about a lot, but basically, when something is stressing for you, you have a wired system in your brain. It's called the attachment system. And the attachment system is triggered when something stressful happens. So now I'm standing here and talking to you, but if there is going to be a loud bang outside for some reason, I'm going to get scared. Okay, this is the typical fight or flight reaction that you know so well, I guess. And when that happens, when we get scared by something, the attachment system is triggered. And the whole point of the attachment system is to seek proximity to our caregiver. So think about a baby that gets scared and it starts to cry. And the whole point, the attachment system activates the crying. And the whole point of that is to get relaxation, to get regulation, to get comfort, to get back to safety. And as soon as you feel safe again, which doesn't actually necessarily mean the danger is over, okay, or quote unquote the danger, because mostly it's internal triggers and internal dangers. It's usually when you feel held physically or mentally or emotionally, when you feel you have someone to have you, someone is having your back, you know, you taking care of you, the attachment system can cool down, can be like turned off, and then you can go on to what we psychologists in the attachment theory call exploration, which means you can do whatever you want to do. Okay, so but in those moments when you're not feeling safe yet, your brain doesn't care about anything but getting back to safety. Okay, so you may have heard the terms the lizard brain, for example. So when we are triggered emotionally by something, especially scary stuff, stressful stuff, anxious stuff, the entire parts of our brain, which are here, the higher parts of our brain, it's really hard for them to, you know, get engaged. It's like they're disconnected, and the really activated part of the brain is so inside of our brains. It's the lizard brain. It's the emotional brain. This is what takes care of us, because the brain's main goal is to keep us alive. So if there's danger around, you can't engage in anything else. So the whole point of the attachment pillar is what you do to make your child feel safe, secure, connected, emotionally regulated, which means if the stress is here, now it's here, etc. And then we have the pillar of the mindfulness, which means it just helps you really attune to both you and your child. I think there's something else here. Yeah. Also self-regulation. So the whole point of being more mindful, as I've said before, is you are really aware of what is triggering both for you and your child. So you notice your child. As you become more mindful to your child's emotions, verbal and non-verbal cues, etc., you can even preempt the stress reaction. You can know, you know that it's going to come. You can prepare your child better for stressful events, for example. And if you are more mindful towards yourself, to what is triggering for you, what's hard for you, what's easy for you, is it hard for you to see your child crying? Why is it hard? What does it trigger for you? What kind of thoughts? What kinds of beliefs? What kinds of emotions? What do you do with them? Okay, do you let your mind being pulled away from the situations because you're really stressed, or can you ground yourself to be in a better place and help your child? So these are things we can talk about when we think about being more mindful. And also self-regulation means, do you have the capacity, the skills, the capabilities to regulate your own emotions? So mostly when we see our children in distress and stress, we feel the same, okay? We feel the stress ourselves. Sometimes it's too much for us, sometimes it's okay for us. But if we can't regulate our own emotions and our own stress reaction, it's going to be hard for us. And it's going to be hard for you to really be there for your child. So you know how when nobody is flying anywhere these days, but on a flight in the safety instruction and guidance and movie that you watch before you take off, there's this part that they tell you that if the air pressure or oxygen pressure goes too low in the cabin, in the passenger's cabin, oxygen mask is going to fall down from the ceiling. And if you're a parent, you must first put the oxygen mask on yourself and only then on your child, okay? Which is kind of counterintuitive to what we parents want to do. We want to first protect our children. But in order to protect our children, we have to regulate ourselves. We have to take care of ourselves, because if we are not there, if we are not regulated, okay? So if we don't have enough oxygen in the plane, but also if we don't have enough oxygen in our own mind, in our own emotional space, it's going to be hard for us to take care of them. Okay, so without further ado, let's talk about the do and don'ts of helping your child deal with anxiety. So try to keep in mind the parenting map, as I laid it out for you just a second ago. Okay, what's important for you? Do you want your child to feel taken care of? Do you want your child to your child? Second time I make this mistake. Do you want your child to feel connected, calmer, taken care of, seen, acknowledged, or do you want your child to feel alone and misjudged and mistreated and you know, to learn that he has to fend for himself and take care of himself, because that happens a lot eventually, okay? So I'm pretty sure that you don't want your child to feel those negative things if you're in this group and you're watching this video, right? But you actually wanted your child to feel taken care of, etc. So it's going to be kind of a no-brainer for you to understand those do's and don'ts. This is why I wrote them so in simple bullet types. But I want you to know that I have an episode about that. I forgot its number, but it's a recent one. I'll put a link later in the comments. It's about the five things that you should never, 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 never tell your child when he's stressed. Okay, things like don't be such a baby. Things like you stressing me out. Okay. And I break each one down and explain why you shouldn't use those words and what you can use instead. But basically, as you can see here, what you should do. No, let's start with what you shouldn't do. Okay, the don'ts. Don't judge. Don't dismiss. Don't belittle your child. Don't make it about you. Okay, so I'll explain a little bit about each one of those. So, first of all, no judgments. I think it's kind of self-explanatory. You know, it's okay if you judge your children sometimes here in your mind, okay, or in your heart. Judgment is something we humans do all the time, okay? Some of you are probably judging me as I speak, as you watch that, and that's fine, okay? That's something we do all the time. This is our survival mechanism brain. We judge everything all the time. This is what our brains do. So it's perfectly normal and natural if sometimes you watch your child afraid to go to a friend's sleepover party and you're like, what's the matter? You know, you're 10 years old. You can go and to a sleepover. You're going to be fine. Don't be so scared about that. Why? What's wrong with you? Okay. Those are judgment calls. Okay. If you think that, if you feel that, that's okay. You're not a bad person. Okay. But try not to tell them to your child. Try not to judge your child explicitly, okay? There's no point in doing that, and you're just going to hurt his feelings, right? And you're going to make your child feel misunderstood, judged, misunderstood. And with time, your child may resort into two main options, I think. One is your child may internalize those judgments, and he may start to believe those judgments that you offer, right? So if you always tell your child that he's too weak, I don't know, I'm thinking about Marty McFly in Back to the Future with the chicken thing, okay? When someone calls him a chicken, he flips, okay? So when you tell your child that he's a chicken all the time, okay, he may internalize that and believe that on himself, okay? And this is not a way to raise a confident child. The other option is that your child maybe will not internalize that, but he will learn and deduce that you are not someone to be trusted. He can't trust you with his fears and bad emotions. So he will start to disconnect from you. And this is when parents tell me, you know, why doesn't he share with me? Why doesn't she tell me that something's wrong? Sometimes it's because they've learned that there's no one to talk with, because when they did that, they were judged. And dismissals are kind of the same thing, okay? When you dismiss your child's anxiety, when you tell your child, there's nothing to be worried about. Yeah, we're going to the doctor's office. You're going to, you know, he's going to fix your cavity in your teeth. Don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. It's not going to hurt. Yeah, don't be afraid of that. Why would you say that? Doesn't it hurt a little bit? Is it there really no reason to be a little bit worried? Okay. Now, it's okay that if you think that and you do that, because we tend to do that because we want to calm ourselves down. So this is what being mindful for that means. You notice that. Notice that if you are a little bit scared, not because it's going to happen to you, but because it's going to happen to your child and you have to take care of your child during that, okay? Maybe it stresses you out. So telling your child that there's nothing to be worried about, there's nothing to be scared of, it's kind of ourselves trying to calm ourselves down. But by doing so, we are leaving our child feeling alone and misunderstood again and dismissed. And you don't want to do that, okay? Again, from the same reasons that I mentioned before, your child will probably learn that you're not to be trusted with fears. So why should he or she share those with you later on? And belittling your child again, don't be a sissy, don't be such a baby, what's wrong with you, don't be a chicken, or grow up already, and just be brave, stuff like that. They are not helpful, and they are creating an atmosphere of shame and belittling. And, you know, maybe in the best of scenarios, if you do that all the time, your child just will learn that he has to rely on himself. So this is kind of the best of scenarios. So belittling your child is really, really unhelpful. So don't do that. And also try not to make it about you. This is something that I sometimes see parents do. And I usually hear that not from the parent, but from the child as an adult. So when I was in those stages, My parent told me that I have to stop that because I'm going to make him sick with worry, okay? Or stop being afraid, you're stressing me out, okay? Now, it's okay if you're stressed as a parent. It's okay if you're stressed because you're a human being just like everybody else and we all get stressed. That's fine. But don't put it on the shoulders of your child because you're the adult, he's the child. You're the responsible one, he's the child. You're the bigger and wiser part. You're the attachment figure. It's up to you to take care of this family. You are the captain of the ship. If you tell your child to stop that because it's stressing you out, you're putting your child in the role of the captain of the ship and you're putting yourself in the role of, I don't know, the lowest rank of sailor there is. And this is not how the world works. This is not what you signed up for when you became a parent. That this is not what he signed or she signed up for when you brought them into this world. Okay, you have to take care of them. And if you reverse the roles like that, and you know, I'm talking about just, I'm opening brackets here. I'm not talking about a one-time thing. I'm talking about doing that over and over and over and over again. Okay. So if you blur it out sometimes, that's fine. Maybe in another session, we're going to talk about how to fix our little mishaps and ruptures and how how not being perfect and making those mistakes can make you a better parent if you know what to do about it. So if you're interested in that, let me know in the comments. Okay, let me know. Yeah, I'm interested in that. Okay, so those are the major don'ts. Don't judge, don't dismiss, don't belittle your child, and don't make it about you. What are the do's? Acknowledge and validate. You see how I wrote validate in big, big letters? If you listen to me before in a podcast or wherever, you know that validation is a key. It's a major key for a good relationship and especially a parenting relationship. What does it mean? It means when you see your child feeling anything, first and foremost, acknowledge that he has a feeling or she has a feeling. Okay, I see you're really stressed about, I'm taking you back to the situation with my child a year ago when they had to glue his chin, okay? And I could have sit with him before that and tell him, okay, I can see you're really stressed. You're afraid about what's going to happen. I see that. That's okay. Okay, this is the validation, okay? You validate, like you validate a parking stub. You validate the emotion. It tells your child, it sends the message that you see his emotion, you understand that emotion, you name that emotion for your child because children don't know how to name their emotion unless you tell them how. You tell them, I can see you're afraid. Wow, your knees are shaking. You're probably afraid. I can see you are restless. You're pacing all over the place. Maybe you're stressed. This is how they learn how to name emotions. And then they can use those names instead of acting them out sometimes. Okay, this is one way of regulating emotion. And so this is acknowledging and validating. You don't have to justify and you don't have to agree with having an emotion. So, for example, if your child is afraid of something that's really not dangerous, I'm not talking about gluing the chin right now, which is not dangerous, it's just really unpleasant. But let's say, for example, your child has some kind of social anxiety and you're going to a restaurant, to a cafe, and he wants a hot cocoa and you want to encourage your child to activate his social skills. So you tell her, okay, call the waiter and ask for whatever you want to drink. And then she stresses out. This is an actual scenario that I worked with a couple of years ago here in my office. So so if this is where you are as a parent, you know that raising your hand and asking for the waiter to come and ordering hot cocoa or whatever is not dangerous at all. Worst case scenario, this waiter is going to be such a douchebag and laugh at your child or something, which is really unpleasant, but it's not going to kill her. However, for her brain in that moment, being really anxious, it feels really dangerous, like that waiter may be a saber-toothed tiger. Okay, so you don't have to agree with that, but you can validate that. Wow, now I can see that it's kind of stressing you out. Maybe you are afraid that the waiter will not understand you because you talk too low, or you may say something wrong or whatever. Okay, I can see that. I can I acknowledge that. It doesn't mean you have to give up on them doing that, okay? But first, you have to let them know that you acknowledge and validate their emotions. Then you can move on to co-regulation. What does co-regulation mean? Co-regulation means that you help them regulate their emotions. So I wrote a couple of ideas how you can do that, and we're already 30 minutes in, so I'm not going to teach you how to do them here. I will do that if you want me to talk about it in later session. So let me know if you want to learn more about co-regulation techniques such as breathing, muscles, and I'll explain what I mean about that, and attention grabbing. So breathing is, all of these are kind of relaxation techniques. So these are breathing and muscles relaxations are really useful when there are physical stress reactions. When you see a child like this or really pacing around or being really anxious. So breathing means taking, if you Google diaphragmatic breathing or belly breathing, you're going to know what I mean. It means taking deep breaths through the nose and breathing them, exhaling through the mouth in a specific way, which kinds of changes the balance between oxygen and carbon dioxide in your bloodstreams. And then it changes the balance in the nervous system between stress and non-stress, okay? And this was really on the tip of the finger to, explanation. And muscles, kind of the same way, but through a different outlet. So Google muscle relaxation techniques or Jacobson relaxation technique. It's a technique that when you really flex your muscles really hard, you keep it up for a couple of seconds, and then you focus your attention on your hands in that moment, because this is what I'm flexing, and then I'm releasing. And I'm noticing the feeling that I'm having in my hands. And you can do that for different muscle groups. And this kind of puts your body in a more relaxed state, which helps also to relax the mind. And attention grabbing, especially if little children, they hear and then you grab their attention and they move there. So, For example, when my child was on that treatment table and he had to have his chin glued, we told him to try and think about other things. And he told, he's so cute. He told us that he was thinking about the ABC, and I think it was flying chickens. Okay, I think it was the thing that he was thinking about. I'm thinking about chickens, flying chickens, something like that. So. Stress is there, but when you're really stressed, all your attention goes to what's stressful for you. So you can pull the attention, the spotlight of attention, to somewhere else using different techniques. You really want to help your children feel safe, secure, regain confidence. And you know what? You want them as adults to feel confident. And this is where you build that confidence, when you help them in those stressful moments. So what you should never do, don't judge your children about being afraid. You are also afraid sometimes, so don't judge them, okay? Don't dismiss their fears, because you're going to teach them that there's no one to talk with and no one to help them, and they all have only to they have to rely only on themselves. And this is probably not the best of ways to nurture confidence, right? So don't dismiss those fears. Also, don't belittle your child. Now, it's perfectly normal if you find it on the tip of your tongue. And there are many reasons why you may find it on the tip of your tongue to say, don't be such a baby, stop crying. Try to avoid from putting it out of your mind and into your words, which can really hurt. And never make it about you, because it's not about you. You're the adult, you're the parent, okay? Whether you planned it or not, you have to take care of that child. You are the captain of the ship, and it's in you. You can do this. You got this, okay? Even if you are stressed. If you find yourself really stressed in those moments, you have to find a way, and you are welcome to ask in the group, and you are welcome to ask me and other members, what do they do in order to help themselves in those moments, in order to regulate themselves and feel less stressed? Because this is something we always have to work on. I get stressed in those moments sometimes with my children. Okay, and I have to find the ways to calm myself down, okay, and regulate myself. So this is something we have to work on. And let's move to the do's. Acknowledge, validate, acknowledge, and validate. This is a dance that I always tell. Acknowledge and validate. You have to acknowledge the emotions of your child. You have to validate. You have to let them know that it's okay to feel whatever they feel, even if you don't agree with that, even if you don't see why it's scary for them. It doesn't matter. You have to let them know that you have them in your heart and your mind, and you know what they feel, you care about what they feel, and this is where it starts. Then you can move to co-regulation, and this is where I share with you the safer method, which is to slow down, take a breather, acknowledge the emotions, help your child feel their emotions physically and emotionally, and endure those emotions, and move to relaxation. And that's that. All right, that was the live session about the do's and don'ts of helping your child deal with anxiety. I really hope you enjoyed that and it was helpful for you. Was it? Let me know. You are welcome to join this group today. Go to apparentlyparent.com/Facebook and join us. And as usual, please subscribe to this podcast on wherever you listen to your podcast. You can do so on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, whatever works for you. And I would really appreciate it if you will take the time and leave a review on one of those platforms. It really helps me get in front of more people and, of course, get to know you and what you want, what you like, what you dislike, and make this show better for you. That's it for today. I really hope you enjoyed that, and I will see you again next Thursday. Bye-bye.